On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we climb aboard the Hogwarts Express to find Christian themes in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Are Harry, Ron, and Hermione foolish, powerless, and despised in the world? Has Neville Longbottom counted the cost of being a disciple? All that and more in 3, 2, 1... Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, Episode 8. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan!
Hey!
Hey, you know what? It's been a long, long time since we've done the show. In fact, we're way past schedule.
We are. We are so behind, Michael.
But, Lord willing, the listener's not going to know.
No, they sure won't.
Hey, why did we took off last week is when we were supposed to be recording. We're actually recording on the day that we plan on releasing this episode.
Yes.
And so the release schedule is the same, but we had to postpone. Why'd we do that?
Well, last week it was the running week of the show at Motlow, Golden Boy of the Blue Ridge. I know my schedule was very tight.
Yes,
and I had to move work days around that I didn't plan on moving, and once those moved, I had to.
Yeah,
it
ended up that we had rescheduled a recording time, and it was going to be so tight that the show could have suffered for that, but. You know, the week before, I was giving our youngest, our baby, a bath. Well, she's 2 years old, but she's the baby of the family. And I'm leaning over the side of the tub, and she's like a little greased pig, okay? And they're all soaped up, right? I'm trying to grab her.
Tabby, don't listen to your dad when he calls you a greased pig.
And if you're watching on the live video cam right now, which you can always tune in while we are recording the show over at gctnetwork.com/live, right here, I was leaning on the side of the tub, reached over, and I felt, and I thought that I heard, but I'm sure I didn't, but I felt a pop. And instantly lost my breath.
Oh.
Sharp pain, seeing stars, and I didn't know what happened. But actually, a week later was the morning that we were going to, that we decided not to record that day. And I was feeling worse that day.
Oh.
So anyway, I get online and I'm Googling and I'm reading all the things that could be wrong with me. And I had to lay down because I got myself sick.
Ouch. Oh, that hurts just thinking about it.
So, hey, tell us about the play.
Oh, it was really fun. I'm glad I got the opportunity to do it. I met a lot of new people, a lot of theater students who were, well, okay, most of them were there to learn. Had a couple divas. I mean, you know, I just want to tell them that professionalism starts when you realize you're not the only one in the show.
In fact, professionalism starts now.
That's
boys
right.
And girls.
It actually started in January for them, but some of them just didn't get the lesson.
Well,
but that's just beside. That's with every show, and you know, like I said, I'm glad I got to do it. I had fun. I hope the other guys had fun too.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed it.
No, it's okay.
Well, we'll have to have.
There's a DVD coming your way, buddy.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll review that on Finding Christ in Theater.
No.
Oh, we better trademark that name right now.
Where's my steno pad?
Finding Christ FCT. In the theater. Hey, you know what? Well, what else has been going on?
Well, you know, my whole life I've had a flip phone. Actually, my first cell phone I had in the eighth grade, it wasn't even a flip phone.
No, a little candy bar
like
phone.
The old little Nokia. You know, you could play Snake on it,
yeah.
And that was the best thing ever.
They call those candy bar phones.
Yes, candy bar phone. I'd never even... moving on past that, I did know about that, actually. And, you know, since then, I've had a flip phone, and for some reason, I finally realized that it's 2014, and the world revolves around smartphones. So I finally gave in and pressed myself further into the mold of this world and bought a smartphone.
Well, there he is. He's following after the lust of this life. And
I know it. I can't even take a selfie.
I don't even have a smartphone.
Well, you don't have a smartphone, but you got... I mean, you're okay. Don't.
Hey, okay. Oh, update from the last episode for our buddy John Carney.
Oh yeah,
and you were discussing this epic commercial, which starred one Gary Busey for the Amazon Fire TV, which we talked about on the last episode. I saw the commercial, and I'm going to tell you how I saw that commercial at the end of the show in the lightning round. But that man is out of control.
He so is.
Hi, Gary Busey. You'll also be happy to know that I finished the Darth Bane trilogy.
Oh, good.
And I moved on directly to revisiting an old friend, the Thrawn trilogy, the Timothy Zahn trilogy. I can't remember. I'd have to pull the book off my shelf to know when it was published, but it was at least 20 years ago, and it's been since then that I've read these. Well, we got the I got the audiobook for the first of that trilogy, and it is absolutely mind-boggling. And if you didn't know already, I'm a little bit of a Star Wars fan.
Just a wee bit. Now last time you mentioned this Thrawn trilogy. Is this the one that would have been made into a movie?
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that
a little bit later on, because some big news regarding that. A lot of big news. But we also, in our family, got two new Blu-rays since the last time that we recorded. The first one, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, right.
Was released.
Yes.
Now, I wish that we were talking about that movie now. That was actually our first episode of Finding Christ in Cinema.
The first movie review episode.
Yes.
Our technical first episode was the...
Zero.
Episode zero.
Just an introduction.
But, yeah.
Now... So I want to go back and make sure that after a second viewing of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, I liked it a whole lot better this time. Do you want to know why?
Sure, Michael, tell me.
Because this time I went in fully knowing that it is very, very loosely based on J.R.R. Tolkien's much beloved classic, The Hobbit. In fact, it has very little in common. Once knowing that, it's a great movie. Great movie. The second one was The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Wow! That is a great movie.
To all those watching the live feed, this isn't just the Boy Scout sign anymore, y'all.
No.
We
need to talk about that movie.
We do. That, you know, a good time would be when the third one comes out, because then we can just talk about them.
Okay, let me tell you something that made the biggest impression on me this time. Well, first of all, let me get Philip Seymour Hoffman. What a loss in the acting world. Okay, so very sad. He blew me away in that movie.
As the game maker?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, blew me away. But here's the thing. Now, the first one, and we had watched that again a few weeks ago on a family movie night, and it was fine, but... not earth shattering to me, but Catching Fire, I really, now, how do I say this and not sound like a complete ogre? Jennifer Lawrence, I didn't ever have very much regard for her, because it seems that everybody, you know, just fawns all over her. And so when people do that over actors,
it's true. She's
like number one.
She is number one for Generation Y right now.
But that girl can act.
Yeah, she can.
She can portray emotion, a wide range of emotion, in such a convincing way that a real pleasure to watch. And also, another fellow that I've never been that big a fan of is Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
What do you have a comment about that?
No, I just... There's a movie I wouldn't say that it has any Christian themes in it, but the movie Zombieland.
Oh yeah.
If you want to get a better picture of Woody Harrelson, watch that movie.
Oh, but, okay. Well, here's my problem with Woody Harrelson. I remember him from Cheers, and I watched a few episodes of Cheers. And okay, yeah, I guess I don't know how much skill it takes to play that kind of a character.
Not really.
Okay. But the movie Natural Born Killers?
I've read about it. Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
I got suckered into going and watching that movie with a group of friends back, you know, that's what, 20 years ago?
Peer pressure.
And, well, didn't know what, you know, Natural Born Killers. I didn't know anything about the movie. Oh, I was sick. That movie is disgusting.
Well, yeah.
Okay. And so I that just developed a bad taste in my mouth for him. But anyway, so that's the update, what's going on over here, watching movies, reading books, and not buying smartphones. Oh. Anything else? Any other updates?
No, I believe it's time for some real news. Let's roll it.
Oh, roll it, he says.
Mrs. Doubtfire, part two.
Why?
That's what I asked myself. However, the script is already being written. Director Christopher Columbus and Mrs. Doubtfire himself, Robin Williams, are already on board. The script will be written by David Barenboim. I don't know if you know or not, but he wrote the script for Elf. Woody Harrelson. Will Ferrell.
Yes.
And I got a couple other movies listed up here. Oh, well. I'm looking forward to that. However, two of the actresses from the original movie have already said that they don't plan to be a part of it.
One was his wife?
No.
Oh, good.
No, okay. No. Sandra Bullock, haven't seen anything from her yet. However, his two daughters.
Oh.
And this is going to sound bad, but one of them is named Lydia in the movie. She's the oldest daughter. And Natalie, played by Mara Wilson. Mara Wilson, who played, Matilda. And she was in the remake of Miracle on 34th Street. They have neither been contacted nor have shown any interest upon hearing these rumors that they want to be in it.
Hmm.
So
I'm just fascinated by what could they possibly make this movie? What could the plot be?
I haven't seen anything about it. I hope Mr. Barenboim makes it well.
Well, you know what they say? It's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. No, it's a small world on the big screen. April 22nd was the 50th anniversary of the iconic Disneyland ride, which whisks one through the waterways of the world while being serenaded by happy, smiling children assembled from nearly every culture that they could find. Now, the Lego movies, John Turtle, I don't, that's a tricky one, and Dan Lin will bring a script by Jared Stern to a theater near you.
Hey, you know, I'm kind of excited to see what they do.
Oh, me too. I love the ride. When we were in California a couple of months ago, we went to the Disney Store, one of the malls out there, and they were selling It's a Small World characters, and I really wanted to get one.
Are there even characters besides the teacups?
No, It's a Small World has little children through the whole thing.
Oh, I thought it was the ride with the teacups. You just spin around.
Nope. Well, we're going to have to get you to Disneyland.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay.
Coming up next, speaking of Matilda with Mara Wilson, we all know Matilda was a children's book written by Roald Dahl, and he also wrote Willy Wonka. Well, excuse me. He wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yes. And we'll get to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory later, I hope, after we finish Harry Potter.
There you go.
But another film adaptation of Mr. Dahl's is coming to theaters. The BFG, The Big Friendly Giant.
Ooh.
And it will be directed by Steven Spielberg. This will be his first project after after Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis. And I'm honestly kind of excited to see how he handles it.
Me too. I didn't know anything about that. Okay, you ready for a rumor mill? What do you think?
I love it. I love it.
Oh, yes, the Pick a Little Ladies from the Music Man. Oh. Okay, so in fact, I'm going to do it again. Pick a little toppy, pick a little toppy, cheek, 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 talk a lot, take a little more. Lay your peepers on some peeps, because the much-loved Marshmallow Confections may be making the leap from your Easter basket to the big screen. Adam Rifkin from Underdog fame and his producing partners Brent Tinter and Brian Rochlin, I suppose, have optioned film and TV rights to the Little Cavity Makers.
That sounds weird,
Okay, here's the cool thing, is it is also a result of the massive success of the Lego movie. They are wanting to partner with a film studio such as Warner Brothers, where they can sneak in, like, Batman and, you know, Superman, you know, other IPs.
Other Easter eggs, if I may.
But anyway, so we'll see if it comes out. We're going to watch it.
Well, coming out of the play, I learned some news that it's very interesting to me. The musical Jersey Boys,
yeah,
will be made into a film later to be released this year, and Clint Eastwood is directing.
Right, you know what? Clint Eastwood, I love the man. When I saw the trailer for this, I clicked on it right away because I didn't know anything about the musical. I was hoping that it was going to be about Dion and the Belmonts. That's what I was hoping. But it is Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Yeah, Frankie Valli.
Right. Anything else about that?
You know, at first I had reservations because I haven't known Clint Eastwood to be a song and dance man, and I kind of if
he's a musician,
weird.
He's a jazz pianist.
See, I didn't know that.
Yep,
I didn't see.
He's a neat guy.
That's what I get for thinking.
He gets behind the piano and he says, "You feeling lucky, punk?"
Oh, are we going to review that later?
Yeah. Okay, let's do it. The third installment of the retelling and completely reimagined tale of everybody's favorite Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins. And I'm not kidding. These movies are very loosely based on J.R.R. Tolkien's amazing children's book. Well, anyway, they seemingly only coincidentally share many of the same characters. It has received a name change.
Oh, man.
Director Peter Jackson wrote on his Facebook page, and I quote, "When we did the premiere," that's of Desolation of Smog, "the premiere trip last year, I had a quiet conversation with the studio about the idea of revisiting the title. We decided to keep an open mind until a cut of the film was ready to look at. We reached that point last week, and after viewing the movie, we all agreed there is now one title that feels completely appropriate. And so, The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, it is." Did you just groan?
I did.
I thought I heard that way over
that
here.
That was an audible groan.
Why?
Because, you know, and maybe this is just me being silly, but I was having hopes for There and Back Again. However, this does present the opportunity, and I'm sure they're going to capitalize on it when the whole trilogy is available. It might be a box set.
That's called, you read the article.
I mean, you know, but no, it just, I don't know. I'm just,
well, it doesn't make sense to have, because it was named that when there was two movies.
And that's true.
Two movies like had a little baby movie. And that they snuck in the middle there, and which was the Desolation of Smaug.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so in the third part, they're not going anywhere. They're already there. So, but I agree with you. But I do believe that the box set, the special edition, will just be titled. All three of them will be titled There and Back Again. They have to use that title somewhere because that is the book Bilbo wrote, which is the, you know, part of the Red Book of the West March. Carry on.
All right. Michael, we lost another great actor this week. April 29th, we lost Bob Hoskins.
Smee.
He died of pneumonia. He was 71 years old. I was going to ask you, any favorite Bob Hoskins roles?
That's it.
Smee?
Yeah, because I love Peter Pan, and I loved Hook.
Yes. That's another one. We see, we've already mentioned three.
Well, there's a new Pan. Have you read about Pan?
No!
Hugh Jackman?
No!
We'll talk about that next time, folks. Tune in for Finding Christ in Cinema, Episode 9.
Oh, so we've got seven more Harry Potter books, or Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
Oh, we need a list. We need a master list.
We do.
Now, I remember I grew up with Hook. That was another one of those VHSs at my grandma's house besides Wizard of Oz that I would watch.
Well, Dustin Hoffman is a genius actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't try and stop me, Smee.
Robin Williams is a genius actor, but the character of Smee was done so well.
Oh, yeah.
So well. I've never seen... What's the Roger Rabbit? I've never seen Roger
Who Framed
Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, Who Framed Roger
Who
Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? He played Detective Eddie in that. It's not that bad. It's not one of my favorites. I wouldn't go out and seek it.
Yeah.
But
Well, what's sad about his passing is that he, Bob Hoskins, retired a couple years ago from show business because he was battling, what was it? He was battling some disease.
I can't remember.
Okay, he was, and he didn't really have the opportunity to enjoy the family time that he was hoping to spend in his retirement. So let that be a lesson to us all that we are going to pass on someday, and we honor Bob Hoskins. He brought a lot of people a lot of pleasure.
One more thing about him. I put a link in the show notes to a CNN slideshow of past roles that he's done.
Yeah.
One thing that the slideshow doesn't mention is his Shakespearean acting. And he played Iago opposite Anthony Hopkins' Othello.
Nice.
And if you ever get a chance to watch that, it is worth it.
Okay. Put that on the list.
Yes, sir.
All right. Star Wars. Star Wars. Yes. What's the date today? Today's the first. In a couple of days, a few days, it will be a galactic holiday.
May the 4th be with
you. Yes, yes. And we were expecting a big... in fact, I had a whole news report written out. I was going to be able to use the Piccadilly ladies, or the Piccadilly ladies, the Piccadilly Circus ladies. And it was going to be jam-packed with rumor mill stuff. But they jumped the gun because they had the read-through, the read-round, or whatever they call that, just the other day.
Read-through.
So this past Thursday, a full 6 days before May the 4th, StarWars.com announced the cast of Star Wars Episode 7. Here we go! Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher,
ding.
Yes, ding, 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 Harrison Ford,
ding.
Peter Mayhew,
ding.
Anthony Daniels,
ding.
And Kenny Baker
ding.
Will reprise their iconic roles as Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2, respectively. And they are joined by a group of young Turks filling the roles of the next generation of heroes and villains. Plus, the very surprise announcement... Andy Gollum, Smeagol, King Kong, Caesar, Circus is in the cast.
Ooh. Wow.
Wow.
I just get more excited talking about
it. I'm so geeked out right now, and Twitter is just going crazy. You've got Mark Hamill posting like crazy, Anthony Williams, Andy Serkis, and Mark Hamill tweeted earlier, and they're all saying, hey, this cast of youngsters, they are amazing. The saga, the tale, the story is in great hands. And
that brings me comfort for one thing.
Oh, yes. You know what? I have a list of, there's a link in the show notes. And remember, folks, the show notes are always at the bottom of our blog posts, so you can just get right over to our Google Doc that we use. This great article on firstshowing.net telling who these young actors are.
Those Turks.
Yes. They are revolutionaries. They are revolutionizing the story. It is in their hands for a while. John Boyega, they're thinking he's going to be like the lead hero guy. I mean, he's getting great accolades. There's this young lady, Daisy Ridley, who is a stage actress, I believe, and she does TV and whatnot, but they're hoping that she is going to get the role of the Jedi and, you know, give a lady a role.
There you go.
A proper role in that.
It's about time.
You have Adam Driver. They're saying, oh, you know what, he's a pretty brooding kind of a guy, either a Sith, or if they don't actually have Sith in these stories, maybe a Dark Jedi. Dark Jedi are very...
He looks like he's got an evil streak to him.
Oh, yeah, and then you got Oscar Isaac. Sucker Punch, never seen that, I don't even know if I need to. Born Legacy, you know, bit parts in that. But inside, Llewyn Davis.
Llewyn Davis, he was Llewyn Davis.
Okay.
Yes, I couldn't remember where I knew him from.
We have a Weasley in the film.
Oh, which one?
Well, this is Domhnall Gleeson, and it was the oldest Weasley with the scar. He's the dragon wrangler.
Oh, yes. Was he only in the first movie?
No. He was in the last, at least the last two off the top of my head. You know,
He's the son of
Professor Moody in real life.
Of
Mad-Eye Moody?
Brandon Gleeson.
Yes.
Yes.
But Andy Serkis. So Andy Serkis, not sure what he's going to play. You know, he is.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. Now, of course, he's the foremost expert in mocap, motion capture.
Yes.
Right? And he teaches other people how to do it. But J.J. Abrams could just say, hey, you know what? We want you, the whole you, in this film.
So he may actually be a person.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he is. He doesn't get to be a person very often.
Not a
but
lot.
But he's a great actor, man.
He is, yes.
Max von Sydow. I don't know how to spell his last name, but he is a seasoned actor. Minority Report, Exorcist, Ghostbusters, Robin Hood. Oh, another one of these guys was in Robin Hood as well up here. Now, okay, we've run over our time for news, but I want to say this. The rumor right now is that Harrison Ford, Han Solo, is going to have a major part in the first film.
Does that mean he won't have any part at all?
He has always said to George Lucas, Han Solo needs to die.
Oh, no.
And George Lucas says, no, Han Solo needs to sell action figures. But now it's not in George
Lucas's
hands.
What better way to sell action figures?
Yeah. So anyway, good information there. I want to start. We need a Star Wars podcast. We need a Star Wars. This now is the time to do. Oh, get into the books real quick. Oh, Brendan, it's going to be a long episode.
It's going to hit that hour mark.
Okay, they released an announcement last week, the week before. All expanded universe books. That would include the Darth Bane trilogy,
the Thrawn trilogy.
Thrawn trilogy, comic books, anything other than the movies, the Clone War movie is no longer canon.
Oh.
No longer canon. But they have four new books being released which are canon.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not even that much of a Star Wars fan, and I can see how wrong that is.
Wait, what did you just say?
I said I'm not that much of a Star Wars fan. No, well, okay, not as much as you, Michael. Not as much as you. Oh, quiet down, kids. Quiet down. Go back to your
cave.
All right,
we've gone way over on news. I apologize for that, but Star Wars. Okay, you ready to go to the movies?
I'm strapped in, baby.
Let's go to the Wizarding World.
Did you ever make anything happen? Anything you couldn't explain? You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what? Dear Mr. Potter, we are pleased to inform you that you have been accepted at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
In a few moments, you will pass through these doors and join your classmates.
Keep an eye on the staircases. They like to change.
Good afternoon, class. Welcome to your first flying lesson. Stick your right hand over the broom and say up.
Up.
Wow. Mr. Longbottom, Mr. Longbottom, Mr. Longbottom, exactly where do you think you're going?
Do you really have the scar? Wicked.
Mr. Potter, our new celebrity.
First years should note that the Dark Forest is strictly forbidden. That no magic is to be used between the classes and the corridors.
Petrificus Totalus.
The third floor corridor is out of bounds to everyone who does not wish to suffer a most painful death.
Understand this, Harry, because it's very important. Not all wizards are good.
I'm going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed. Or worse, expelled.
She needs to sort out her priorities.
I think it is clear that we can expect great things from you.
Yes.
Brendan, what are your memories?
I'll tell you, Michael, I remember not reading the first and second books as soon as they came out. But I do remember them, you know, popping up all over the shelves, all over Walmart.
In the news, in people, the news, you know, lined
going
up.
Crazy. Yes. Going crazy. And I didn't start reading the books until the first one came out. And when the first movie came out, the newest book was The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
And honestly, we'll talk about this later, but I'm glad I started off with that one.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that when we review Prisoner. So of course, once I read Prisoner, you know, I went to the theater saying, "Oh yeah, I'm going to get everything," because in my mind, they weren't related. They were just different tales with the same characters. There wasn't an arc to the story, and I'm kind of glad that I started watching the movie, because that, you know, I think every film adaptation of a book should have at least one purpose, and that is to get those that haven't read the book to read the book.
Yeah.
And that film got me to read The Sorcerer's Stone. And I'm glad it did. And that was just a big old part of my childhood right there.
When I, we were in California when the whole phenomenon, you know, started, and it was rising, I got caught up in the typical evangelical Christian witch hunt craze. Not so much that I ever said anything about it, but we just resolved that, okay, well, it's not for our family. We're just not going to, you know, participate in that stuff. Don't ask me why. I just figured, okay, you know, I believed people on the radio. This is a bad influence on Christian kids and what have you. Well, it wasn't until, what was it, 2008? I think there was a big hurricane down, not Katrina. It was after Katrina, but down in New Orleans. I think it was Gustav.
Wait, was it Irene?
No. I'd have to look at. I remember, but well, we had some friends that lived in New Orleans, and they came up here to escape. I mean, they were here. It was a bad hurricane and flooding. They were up here for nearly a month. Well, they were big fans of Harry Potter and you know they were also fans of the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien. We'd be talking about that, and they said, "You really ought to watch the Harry Potter movies." And finally, my wife says, "Well, is there anything, you know, objectionable for little kids? You know, no bad language, no, you know, nothing." Okay, well, and then she talks to me, and I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader, and well, if you think it's an okay idea, she says, anything that is questionable, we'll talk to the kids about it afterwards, like good parents should do,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we gave in and watched and started with the first one. They had all of the ones that were, you know, which was the newest one released in 2008. They had up to that point.
I think that one was, it might have been The Half-Blood Prince.
No, it was before. It was actually before that, because we did go see The Half-Blood Prince at the theater.
Then it might have been Order of the Phoenix.
Probably.
Okay.
And we were instantly sucked in. And so my wife starts reading the books, and then she says, "You need to read these books. Christ is written all over this story. This is a Christian story." And so I sit down and I read the books. I couldn't put them down. You know, it's great storytelling. I love it. And I repent of anything that I ever said cross about this book without knowing about it. I know one of the biggest objections from Christians is,
"There's no such thing as magic."
And I know that, and you know that. I know, but I do know that magic resides in my mind. That's a magical world in there, and I love magic. I love the magic of storytelling. I love fantastic things. I love fantasy. And if you can use that, much like C.S. Lewis did throughout seven books of, you know, chronicling Narnia, it's magic, friends. It is absolutely amazing. I'm going to get off my soapbox right now, and those are my my recollections. And let's just jump right into it, Brendan.
Well, I want to my point I want to bring up for this episode. Actually, before I get to my point, I will I'll discuss something that was brought up to me backstage one night during it was during one of our final rehearsals. You know, I was telling everyone about the podcast, and then later one of the guys came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, what if the Sorcerer's Stone represents the fruit of the fruit in Eden.
Ooh.
The forbidden fruit.
Ooh.
And that, and that's a good point. And then, actually later on today, that Zeb, that goes out to Zeb, by the way. I hope you're listening. That was you, buddy. But actually, and I didn't think of this until I want to say yesterday, Wednesday of this week after the show. To me, I think the Sorcerer's Stone would more aptly represent the Tree of Life. Or maybe a fruit of the Tree of Life, because what is the one thing that Voldemort wants from the stone? Immortality.
Yes.
Everlasting life.
Yep. Well, that's his goal throughout the entire story arc.
The whole series, yeah, with the Horcruxes.
Yes.
Which, and oddly enough, that term doesn't come up until Half-Blood Prince. And it's only in retrospect when they realize that the stone, the diary,
yes,
all these things throughout the series are Horcruxes. But we'll get onto that later.
See, not the stone.
The stone wasn't a Horcrux?
No. The diary was.
The diary. Okay, that's right.
The stone does what it says it does.
Oh, to give everlasting life. And then Nicholas Flamel, he was celebrating his 600th.
65th. Yeah, he was 665 years old.
Yeah, oh, what a guy. He just got tired of life. Anyway, moving on, my point, I want to bring up old Neville Longbottom.
Oh, man, I am so glad. Well, my wife, this is one of her very favorite points of the whole movie. He's one of our very favorite characters. We love Neville.
Of course. I mean, he's the forgetful, clumsy, pudgy, buck-tooth classmate of Harry, Ron, and Hermione's. He's a first-year, like everyone in this in the Gryffindor house that we're getting to know, along with Seamus. And just real quick on Seamus, I love it when his eyebrows disappear every time. Thinking of Neville, I automatically think of during the first flying lesson.
Yes.
Madam Hooch says, lift your hand over your broom and say up. and when Neville says up, it just smacks him right in the face. And that's a good image of understanding. That's a good image that can help us understand Neville. However, he gets his moment later in the movie. You see, on their way out of the Gryffindor Commons, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, they have a little snag.
Trevor!
Shh! Go! You shouldn't be here!
Neither should you.
Oh, who is that? Why, that's Neville sitting in the chair. He's gonna take a little stand up to these three.
You'll get Gryffindor into trouble again. I'll fight you.
He's gonna fight them? He's feeling awfully loyal to this Gryffindor house. I'm sure you've already seen the movie, but if you haven't...
Spoiler alert!
If you haven't, you see, because of these three kids' actions, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, Gryffindor has lost a lot of house points. A lot of house points. Even for being off the campus after hours or whatever, each of them lost 50 points. Then again, so did Draco, and I'm happy about that. But moving on, you know, Neville, he just feels compelled to stand up to these three and stop them from making Gryffindor lose any more points than what they have.
Neville, I'm really, really sorry about this. Petrificus Totalus.
No. Like a dead tree trunk.
You're a little scary sometimes. You know that. Brilliant. Scary. Let's go. Sorry.
They're so British.
Good, you know.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
For your own good, you know.
Brilliant, but scary. And you know, because he stood up to his friends, you know, they had a different objective. They knew where they had to go and they couldn't tarry any longer. So good old Hermione, she whips out the Petrificus Totalus spell, petrifies him, he falls down, and they just get by. Fast forward to the House Cup ceremony. Slytherin is in the lead. But Dumbledore, aha! Dumbledore has some last-minute points for Gryffindor.
And finally, it takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to your enemies. But a great deal more to stand up to your friends. I award 10 points to Neville Longbottom.
And that breaks the tie because Harry, Hermione, and Ron had already received their points. Harry got 60, and Ron and Hermione got 50 each, so that tied them with Slytherin. Neville's extra 10 points tips the scales in Gryffindor's favor, and they win the House Cup.
Assuming that my calculations are correct, I believe that a change of decoration is in order. Gryffindor wins the House Cup.
Michael, I've been dying to ask you, are the kids in this film, are they the same kids you have here at your house in the cave out back? The ones that come in and either yay or boo me?
No. We have American kids here.
Oh, American. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's all the only ones we could get on short notice.
Oh, understandable.
We wanted an ensemble cast from all around the world, but we were short.
You gotta have that diversity,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But through Neville, we have this image of a boy who is willing to do what is right, even if it costs him his friends. And this just this reminds me of Jesus telling his followers what it actually means to follow him. And the passage I want everyone to read is Luke 14, 25 through 33, but I'll just emphasize two of the key verses. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If anyone, I'll paraphrase, if anyone comes to me and cannot stand against his own friends, if push came to shove, if they were doing something wrong and you can't stand up for what is right, you cannot be my disciple. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has, verse 33, he cannot be my disciple. It just reminds me of that passage, and
Neville does illustrate that passage, the true meaning of what that passage is.
Yes, he's counted the cost. He has found
he loves right more than he loves
His friends. Yeah,
that doesn't mean that he loves his friends any less. It means that he's going to stand for what's right above and beyond. That's what Jesus meant when he said that if you don't hate your father and mother, he doesn't say hate your.
Yeah, he doesn't
it means
want
love
you to,
less.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to hate anybody because right. His message is about love. But the right thing, and you know, Jesus, he is the right thing, so he has to take precedent over all.
Amen.
And that's one of the costs of being a disciple.
Great, great points. You just handed out a perfect little witnessing tool. Somebody can put that virtually in your front pocket so the next time that you are watching Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone with a friend, you can point that out to them. That's awesome. We love Neville Longbottom. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
This movie, so many things to talk about. I wanted to talk about Neville. I wanted to talk about, and I will one day, we're going to talk about, on our brand new Harry Potter, Finding Christ in Harry Potter podcast.
FCHP.
Yes, because the story is so rich that we literally could make an entire self-sustaining podcast out of it. I wanted to talk about the snitch, the golden snitch.
Oh, the
and
golden
Harry's
snitch.
And Harry's a seeker. And that golden snitch plays a big role at the end of the tale. And
yes.
I was so tempted to do that, but
we have other movies.
Yes.
There are other movies in this series, Michael.
And then we could do review podcasts after we finish the series, and we could go on and on and on.
Oh.
But I have to, it being the very first episode that we're talking about, I have to talk about the main protagonists, our three heroes, Harry, Hermione, and Ron. They're just kids, right? Just mm-hmm. kids? Well, yeah, they're just kids. But no, they're not just kids. They are a great picture of the elect, a picture of the called out of God, the church of God. They are a picture of Christians, a perfect picture, really, in an imperfect setting.
Yeah.
Here's a simple way to share the good news, the gospel, with friends and family while watching Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
No, Michael, we're in America.
Oh, and the Sorcerer's Stone. The only place where it's the Sorcerer's Stone.
The only place.
The only place that they had to film some scenes twice in order to say Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true. As other people outside of their group, as others see our heroes, there are three things that describe them. They are foolish, powerless, and despised. Harry, being raised by his Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vernon, is despised in their eyes. They dote on and spoil their son Dudley Dursley while treating Harry as a servant, replete with guile and barking orders at him.
Happy birthday, son.
Why don't you just cook the breakfast and try not to burn anything?
Yes, Aunt Petunia.
I want everything to be perfect for my Dudley's special day.
Hurry up. Bring my coffee boy.
Yes, Uncle Vernon.
Hurry up. Bring my coffee boy.
In fact, he's threatened by Mr. Dursley before leaving for the zoo.
I'm warning you now, boy. Any funny business, any at all, and you won't have any meals for a week. Get in.
So he's despised by them.
Any meals for a week just for funny business?
He's despised.
Man.
They don't like him. He is accused of foolishness as the Dursleys are admiring Dudley's new school uniform.
I can't believe it. In just a week, he'll be off to Smeltings.
Caveat Smeltonia. Proudest moment of my life.
Well, I have to wear that too.
You go to Smeltings.
Don't be so stupid. You're going to go to the state school where you belong. And this is what you're going to be wearing when I've finished dyeing it.
But that's Dudley's old uniform. It'll fit me like bits of old elephant skin.
It'll fit you well enough.
Don't be so stupid. You know, he's foolish as far as they're concerned. And he's powerless to do anything about his current state. In fact, he can't really fathom that it could actually be any other way. Oh, yeah, he can dream about it, but he can't
fully understand it, wrap his mind around it.
Absolutely. I mean, consider his conversation about this mysterious school called Hogwarts with the half-giant Hagrid as he's being rescued from a tiny lighthouse island.
Of course, you know all about Hogwarts.
Sorry, no.
No? Blimey, Harry, didn't you ever wonder where your mum and dad learned it all?
Learned what?
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
A wizard. And a thumping good one, I'd wager, once you trade up a little.
No, you've made a mistake. I mean, I can't be a wizard. I mean, I'm just Harry. Just Harry.
He's humble. He remains humble to the end.
Yes.
He's a humble person because he can't fathom this. I can't be anything special. I can't have any higher purpose. I'm just Harry. I'm nothing. Hermione has the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
These three things, foolish, powerless, and despised, because she's really not liked by others, even her own friends. And spoiler alert, we need an alarm. Spoiler alert.
Something to give the sound off.
Turn down the volume for just a moment. She's even the fella she ends up marrying.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa. She's a nightmare, honestly. No wonder she hasn't got any friends.
Poor little Hermione. But, I mean, the way that she acts, she can't overcome her own issues with self-esteem. So
Has anyone seen a toad? A boy named Neville's lost one.
No.
Oh, are you doing magic? Let's see then.
Sunshine, daisies, buttermellow. Turn this stupid fat rat yellow.
Are you sure that's a real spell? Well, it's not very good, is it? Of course, I've only tried a few simple ones myself.
But they've all worked. I hit that trigger just a hair too early, but that's fine because you can see on their very first encounter with Hermione that she's a big fat know-it-all. Okay,
yeah.
And the reason is because she has very low self-esteem. What you don't know by watching the movies is that Hermione is a big buck-tooth little girl, and so she's not attractive to look at, and she's a know-it-all. So people stay away from it, but she's like that because she's insecure. She's got a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And on her own, she is powerless to change. Now, you'll notice that with both of these two, I've used those three adjectives, right? Foolish, powerless, and despised. And it follows suit that Ron would be the same as well. His lot in life is best summed up by a scathing statement from Draco Malfoy.
Think my name was funny, do you? No need to ask you yours. Red hair and a hand-me-down robe. You must be a Weasley.
Despite
you must be a Weasley.
Yeah. So, and in that statement, all three of those are contained: foolish, powerless, and despised. Okay, but these three kids, which the world considers nothing at all, are capable of great things. So now, right after the scene where Ron insults Hermione, where she hears, oh, she's a nightmare, she cries and she goes stomping off, and she ends up going into the women's lavatory. And she's in there feeling miserable while everybody else is in the Great Hall celebrating the Halloween feast, right? And then here comes Professor Quirrell. I should have clipped that of him running down.
Here, hold on. I can do it. Okay. Hold on.
Troll in the dungeon! Troll in the dungeon!
I thought you should know.
Thought you ought to know?
Yeah.
And so everybody freaks out. Dumbledore, you know, brings some order to it. The heads, whatever they're called, I can't remember right now. So Percy and everybody that's in charge of their groups, their houses, leads them away.
Prefects.
Yes, the prefects. Yeah. And of course, you know, Harry and Ron, somebody tells them, hey, you know, Hermione's been in the bathroom crying. Oh, that's because of us. But there's a troll she doesn't know. We need to go and help.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to go. We're responsible for this. We need to go and help. And so they go in there, and then they defeat the mountain troll. In comes McGonagall and Snape and Quirrell, and if anybody else was accompanying them. And when asked, what are you guys doing in here? Hermione said, it's my fault. It's my fault. Don't blame them. Oh. I knew that the mountain. I mean, she tells a big fat fib, but
yeah.
In order to cover for them, I thought that I could, you know, which would be expected of her. Everybody would expect that kind of action out of her.
Of brash.
Yes. I know how to take care of it. I've read about them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the two guys are looking. What? She's taking the fall for us, and but you know. I mean, the outcome is what the outcome was. And so, Professor McGonagall.
I would have expected more rational behavior on your part, and I am very disappointed in you, Miss Granger. 5 points will be taken from Gryffindor for your serious lack of judgment. As for you two gentlemen, well, I just hope you realize how fortunate you are. Not many first-year students could take on a fully grown mountain troll and live to tell the tale. 5 points will be awarded to each of you.
First-year students, what she's really saying is, first-year students have no business defeating. How did you do that? You know, that's not even, that's unheard of. They didn't go in there thinking that they're going to fight a mountain troll. They go in there and they are led through this series of events to victory.
They're just looking for Hermione. But when they get there,
yes,
even before they get there, they see the mountain troll go into the girls' bathroom,
right?
And so when they're hiding out in the corridor, I guess you'd say, as soon as they see that troll go in the bathroom, they know what's up, and they know they have to save Hermione.
Yes, and throughout the whole story arc, these three kids, just in this own first installment, they defeat he who must not be named. They do all kinds of things. And just because they're doing what the right thing is, and it blows the adults away. That mountain troll incident is a perfect one because you could see it on the faces of the adults. How did they do that? They should be dead right now. But do the kids, do they get all puffed up? No.
No, of course not.
No.
They're just glad to be alive, really.
They are. And here is how they are a great example, a picture of Christians as described. Here is your anchor text. This is what you remember when you are going to witness to your friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish. Things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. How genius the Father of all is that he will take things that are nothing, little nothings, they're foolish and despised and powerless, and shame the people that are powerful and smart and you know, and neither group can boast.
Nope.
Neither group can boast, and neither does in this example. That is your witnessing tool. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. And these three youngsters are foolish and powerless and despised, and they do great things.
You know, Michael, you know, we keep saying we need just a master list of all the movies that we're going to have. We need another master list of all the Christian themes we're going to find in Harry Potter, because this verse, right, this passage that you've brought, that's going to go with every movie. I don't know if you know that or not.
The whole series.
It's going to go, it's going to be a thread, if we will.
Yep. I mean, especially the very last encounter that Harry has with Dumbledore. Oh my goodness. You brave, brave man.
Oh.
This series has Christ written all over it. So powerful. That's why we are going to spin it off into Finding Christ in Harry Potter podcast. Hey, what else? Anything else?
No, not for me.
Okay, let's move on then. Any feedback?
No, I jumped the gun and bringing in Zeb's suggestion earlier.
Okay.
So, hey, Zeb, that was for you, buddy. Oh, also, the idea once again came for us to do Harry Potter. It was requested of us from one of my friends, Lindsay Slaughter. So, Lindsay, I know you'll be listening. This is your shout out number two.
And listen till the end of the show, because there may be some news that you want to hear going along. Hopefully we made you happy with this episode and the points that we brought out. And moving right along to the lightning round. One. Okay. Earlier I mentioned our wonderful commercial with Gary Busey.
Find Gary Busey!
The poor guy hit his head real hard on that motorcycle accident about 20 years ago. Find Gary Busey! Okay, the great stuff. I saw that commercial on Hulu. Hulu.com is another way to get streaming. I'm a cord cutter. We don't have over-the-air TV service. We don't have cable. We don't have satellite coming in. Any movies, TV shows that we watch are via the internet, whether we're watching on our Roku box on the big screen or Amazon streaming video through there. Now, Hulu Plus, there is Hulu Plus, but Hulu.com, the free service is what I use, and you can only use the free service on a computer. If you want to watch it on your mobile device or connect it to one of your streaming boxes, again, Netflix, Amazon Fire TV, whatever else is out there, Google Chromecast, then you have to pay for Google Plus, which is like $8 a month. Both services show commercials. So the only advantage that I know of paying for Hulu Plus is that you can watch it on your TV. I have no problem watching it on my computer as I'm down here watching. I have two screens. I put one in. And
yeah.
They have a bunch of TV shows that I love. I don't watch modern TV shows. I don't care about CSI and whatever else there are, Friends, any of that stuff. I'm watching.
Friends?
Yeah, but that's a modern show, isn't it?
From the 90s.
Oh, okay. So no,
it's okay. I watch every night. I watch Andy Griffith.
Yes.
For an hour, and then Seinfeld for an hour. Okay. So
I've been watching, I did watch the entire Lost series on Hulu years ago.
Okay.
But I watch Twilight Zone. I watch Outer Limits. I watch My Favorite Martian. I watch Lost in Space. I watch Land of the Giants. I watch McHale's Navy. I watch good quality TV. Thank you very much on Hulu.com. That is my lightning pick of the week.
And... ooh, we're almost at the top of the hour for the show. Michael, it's going to be an hour show, buddy.
Yep.
So I've mentioned in a couple past episodes, I finished Breaking Bad. I finally finished it. And, after you finish a good show, like a good drama-ridden show, like I don't know if you'd like it or not, but I liked it. And I couldn't find anything else to replace it. I had a lot of suggestions.
Doctor Who.
I have reservations about Doctor Who only because once I start it, I'm going to start back in the 60s.
No. Just start in 2005. No,
I can't do that.
A reboot of the series.
I can't.
Do it.
I can't.
Do it.
I can't do that.
Peer pressure.
You know,
do it.
You know what? You're not even... okay. What?
I'm powerful.
Anyway, and I had a couple suggestions. My friend Josh Heflin, you suggested True Detective from HBO. I haven't found that streaming anywhere. I'm sure it is on HBO.com, but I don't want to have to pay for it.
Right.
But what I did find was BBC's Sherlock. And let me tell you, I actually started it. This week I watched episode one Monday and then episode two on Tuesday. And there's just one more episode in, season one. And I gotta tell you, I am hooked.
Well, good.
You know, I had never seen Benedict Cumberbatch in anything except for,
you saw him as Smog.
No, I know. No, but before that he was
the Necromancer
Khan.
Oh,
I saw
okay.
Khan.
Hey, spoilers!
Wait a minute.
I took off my headphones. I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now.
He's Khan.
He is Khan. That's all I'm saying. That's not a spoiler. That's in the cast list.
Oh, man. I haven't looked. Okay.
That's it.
And
the plug.
And
this
Martin
show's
Freeman,
over.
Martin Freeman, my introduction to him was as Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah,
I didn't know that he and Cumberbatch were Sherlock and... Watson, Holmes and Watson. I didn't know that, and I just happened to be streaming through my cable service on Channel 8, and it says Masterpiece, whatever, theater, something like that, and it was an episode of Sherlock, and I couldn't change the channel after I landed on it. So I'm starting back at season one. Luckily, there's not much to catch up on. There's only two seasons. I think they're doing season three right now. So
I haven't watched any. I know that at the very least, my wife and my son, I don't know if my older daughter watches it, but they love it. So,
yeah, it's really interesting how they take it and put it into a modern context.
Nice. So, all right. There you go. Lightning round coming up. We're changing the compare and contrast listener participation a little bit. And we're just going to ask you quite simply, what Christian themes have you discovered in the movie that we just talked about? Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
The Sorcerer's
the
Stone.
The Sorcerer's Stone.
Sorcerers.
So what did we miss out on? What do you want to share with us? Call in and let us know. We'll play it on an upcoming episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. You can call the hotline at 507-407-GCTN.
That's 507-407-GCTN. And for those without letters on their phones, that's 4286.
All right. And coming up the next episode, what are we going to talk about?
Well, Michael, it would only make sense to, now that we've started this Harry Potter train, now that we've boarded the Hogwarts Express.
Oh, yes!
Nice! It only makes sense to carry on next episode, Chamber of Secrets.
Oh.
We're going to ride this thing out, baby.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's take it for a ride, see what happens.
Amen.
Now, we have been talking about bumping this up, this show up to every week. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to do that. We'll talk about that after we turn off the cameras and the recording devices amongst Brendan and I. but we want to see what we're going to do. But it does look like we are going to record and release on the same day. So we will be up to date on news. Well, as up to date as much news as we can.
Yeah.
There's so much news that's always coming out.
There's always news.
That's what's going on here behind the scenes at the Great Commission Transmission Network on Finding Christ in Cinema. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com. Go to the official Finding Christ in Cinema website at Christ in Cinema, or you can send us email to FCC for Finding Christ in Cinema at gctnetwork.com.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. That's 507-407-GCTN. And for those, as I've said, without letters on the phones, that is 507-407-4286. You can follow us on Twitter at GCT Network, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GCT Network.
And for as long as it is in existence, you can add us to your circles on Google Plus at google.com/the+ symbol GCT Network. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GCTN TV.
And for those listening on iTunes, for those with Stitcher Radio, and those with TuneIn Radio, you can find us simply by searching for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Inconceivable!
And for all things that are produced here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, get to the official website at gctnetwork.com. And Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
Oh, darn it, I had something, but I forgot it. Move on.
And that's a wrap!
I've never heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. Yes, morons.
I don't understand.
You are a toy!
Yes!
They're never gonna leave.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission. At GCTNetwork.com. This is your Great Commission transmission. This is your Great Commission transmission.